Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So weekly, as you tune in, you know my passion. Well, you better feel my passion, otherwise you're crazy. But I hope you feel my passion that the show truly is about that element of change, but that element of you navigating change in your life. And I hope the information that my guests and I bring inspire. Hopefully we give you some really cool tips and ideas that you can implement today and start that journey of change and hopefully navigate with much more ease and grace for you. So whether you're looking to grow your business, client base, sales, right? My world. Today we're talking about relationships. Hopefully those tips and tools are usable immediately. So my motivational quote, you know, of course I have to start with is by Surabhi Surendra. And Surabhi says, a happy marriage is about three things: memories of togetherness, forgiveness of mistakes, and a promise to never give up on each other. So here's my question for you to ponder today as we discuss our show, as my guests and I discuss our show. First, do you have a healthy relationship with your significant other or people in your life? Are you able to be honest and playful with your partner? And here's some staggering stats for you guys. It was in an article published by Time in 2018, so I think it's still pretty relevant. And it says that the divorce rate has dropped to 39%, down from 40 years ago in the 80s, where it was 50% plus. So this sounds like good news, right? The article goes on to say the reality is millennials are living together versus getting married, so the stats on breakups is much harder to calculate. So what does all of this mean and these statistics mean? Well, of course, today I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Laura Doyle. Now, Laura has a passion for helping women fix their relationships so they feel desired, taken care of, and special no matter how hopeless it seems. Now, Laura was trying to save her own marriage when she stumbled on some ancient wisdom and wrote a book that accidentally started a worldwide movement of women who also wanted to fix their marriage and make them playful and passionate again. Thousands of women from all over the world reached out for help. So through coaching, online programs, live events, and an Amazon Prime series, Empower Wives, Laura is able to meet the demands. Her and her team of over 40 coaches have helped over 15,000 women, congratulations, with their self-confidence and their marriages. She has been a guest on the Today Show, Good Morning America, The Early Show, The View, one of my favorites, The O'Reilly Factor, and The Bill Maher Show, and so many more. So please, please help me welcome my amazing, wonderful guest, Laura, to the show. So Laura, thanks for being on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Connie. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is an important conversation. Laura and I were talking before we started the show. We're both blessed to have our aging parents still living. And she asked how long my parents have been married, and it's 64 plus years. And, you know, all of the good and the bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and, you know, 64 years later. So marriage is important. I think it's the cornerstone of what the values of this country and the values of what families need. So this is a really important conversation. And I think especially for the kids today and the young adults who are getting married, this is super, super important. So I have to start with the first stat of you've helped over 15,000 women fix their relationship, but you almost got divorced yourself. Like what? How did that happen? Right.
So I. Yeah. What is it? That expression, necessity is the mother of invention.
Absolutely.
Right. So when I'd been married for only like 6-7 years, you know, we went from being, you know, when I was a newlywed, of course, he was amazing. He was smart. He was awesome. And then 6-8 years in, I started to realize that he wasn't as tidy. He wasn't as ambitious. I didn't think he was as romantic enough. So I was giving him helpful suggestions on how to be all those things. And that wasn't helping at all. In fact, we were having big blow ups and we were also having cold wars. I call them cold wars, where there was no talking for days. It was just really tense. And yeah. And so I realized like something was wrong with him, because I was clearly, you know, I was a good wife, obviously. And so I tried to get him to go to marriage counseling. And finally I remember in the car on the way to the happiest place on earth, just having this big blowout, because we used to fight in the car a lot. And he said, fine, I'll go to marriage counseling. And I was like, I'm going to let you have the last word on that, you know? So we went to marriage counseling and it just got worse. It didn't get better. In fact, I was on the marriage counselor's slate gray couch when I realized this is hopeless. Like, he's never going to change. By this time, I just think he's a complete loser pants. And if my choices are either to get divorced or to go on in this unhappy marriage for the rest of my life. And I didn't see any other alternative. So, I decided I would get divorced, and there was just one problem, and that was that I was too embarrassed to get divorced. So as a last ditch effort, I decided to ask women who had what looked like long, happy marriages. And for me at that time, it was 15 years. I thought, if you've made it to 15 years, wow, how did you ever do that? Sure. I asked them for their secrets, and the things they said didn't even make sense to me. I thought they were crazy, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to experiment with some of these things. And at least I can say I tried everything. And I remember I'd been experimenting with some of the things that they told me for a little while, not that long really. And I came through the door one night and my husband's face lit up and he was happy to see me again. And that had been gone for a long time. So I thought, okay, something is working here. And it was really exciting as I thought, okay, now I know what to do to make my relationship better. And so that was great. And then, but it turns out I wasn't able to do it consistently. You know, sometimes I would do those things and other times I wouldn't. And so I remember we were in the car having a big blow up again, like after that. And I thought, okay, now what am I going to do? And I got this idea. I thought, okay, if I could get some of my girlfriends to do some of these things too with me, then that might give me like the support and structure I need to succeed with it. So I started this little tiny support group in my living room where there's five of us. Just my girlfriends that were also struggling in their marriages. And it was incredible because they started seeing miracles in their relationships too. Like one woman, her husband won the sales contest at work and took her on the most romantic getaway of their lives. And I mean, and they had been fighting like we had too. And then another one just said, you know, you guys, this might not seem like much, but my husband painted the family room. We've been bickering about this for a month. I couldn't get him to do it. And then he just woke up and said, you know, I'm going to paint the family room today. So it's little things like that, right? Where the intimacy happens in a day-to-day relationship. We were seeing these great results. And so someone said, hey, Laura, can you write down what we're doing for my cousin in Florida? And I said, okay, sure. And that became my first book, which it was The Surrendered Wife, which debuted on the New York Times bestseller list and ended up being published in 19 languages in 30 countries.
Congrats.
So I just fell over backwards and I just wanted to save my own marriage. And the rest of this has just come out of that. So it's been just an amazing, wonderful journey, such a blessing to continue to have now a much larger support group of other women who are also practicing what I call the six intimacy skills.
It's so cool because, you know, as you were speaking, I was reflecting on my marriage, right? We're married 28 and a half years, I think. And I could say happily married. Wasn't maybe always so happy, right? Because you have life's pitfalls, the demands of children, the demands of parents, the demands of work, financial demands, all the things that most couples fight about. Of course, I'm not immune to that. And I'm sure you haven't been immune to that. So yeah. It's work. It absolutely is work. And in a good way, I say that. I don't say that as a labor. It's work because relationships are work. You have to communicate and all these things that we're going to talk about today. So I'm excited because I feel everybody can use these tools, obviously in a marriage, but I bet it overflows into other areas of your life as well. Like the skill is the skill to build quality relationships, period, right? Which is important for us to thrive as humans because we need that interaction, right? We are, we need people in our lives as humans. So it's just so interesting. Now you went through marriage counseling and I know that you say that marriage counseling, does actually more harm than good, but shouldn't people get help with their relationships if they need it? Like where do you go with that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that was interesting to me too was, in fact, one of the big breakdowns that I had in marriage counseling was I actually got to see my marriage counselor, outside of the counseling setting with her husband. And it was so interesting because one of the things that came out in marriage counseling was she was saying, she actually was the first one to tell me that I was very controlling. And I remember it was like a big, you know, record scratch, like, you know, what? Wait, no, he's the one. What are you, you know? And then I was like, okay, I'm controlling. All right, fine. I'll buy into that. What do I do differently? And she was like, yeah, you know, just stop being so controlling. Well, that was no help at all. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't want to be in charge of everything. But I thought, you know, if I'm not making sure the oil's getting changed and the bills are being paid and the housework is getting done, it's not going to get done. So I don't have any other choice but to be controlling. So what was interesting, I got to see her outside of this counseling session, and she was actually very controlling with her husband too. I saw it right in front of my own eyes. And so that was a big aha moment for me. Like, okay, you know what? I want to get help from someone who has what I want. And that's a big philosophy of mine now is nobody wants to get help from a financial advisor who's got, you know, a mountain of credit card debt and no savings or investments, right? Or you don't want to get a personal trainer who's got a spare tire and is a couch potato. You want to have somebody who's actually been there and transformed their marriage, already has a happy marriage. There's certainly a lot to be said for somebody. Maybe they've never had a big breakdown, but they know what works to make a marriage happy. So that's what all of my coaches have. Every single coach on my campus came to me because she was struggling in some way, right? So sometimes it was in really big ways, like he was having an affair and the divorce was already filed and they were separated and it really looked hopeless. And other times it was just like, you know, there just was no sizzle. We were in a sexless marriage, and she's come through the program, really practiced the skills and created a playful, passionate relationship herself. And that's who you want to get help from. You want to just be careful about, you know, relationships are way too important to be taking like advice from random strangers on the internet, right? You need to find somebody who has what you want.
That's right. And who's been through it, because they could talk you through it, right? A mentor of mine years ago said, always have someone who's 10 years ahead of you in their path and career or whatever, because they'll help you with missteps that they took, right? So they've lived through it already. That's who you want to listen to, not someone who's 10 years younger and saying, well, I think you should do. You want to deal with someone who's actually lived through it. So yeah, I agree with that 100%. What do you see are the most common mistakes that women make when they're trying to get their husband's attention, affection, all of those things that we're talking about?
Well, the most common thing that I see, and this was a mistake that I made too, I just remember going, you know, my husband would be watching TV, which he did a lot because I was kind of a porcupine wife. I had a lot of criticism and complaint from my husband. I was pretty unpleasant to live with when I look back at all the things that I was saying to him. And one of the things I would say was, I remember like standing with arms akimbo and marching in while he's watching TV. And I'd say, you know, the average couple has sex 2.5 times per week, and we haven't done it in we haven't done it in over 2 weeks. So I think we should have sex. And that was like getting me nowhere. I know you're laughing. I was like, yeah, I'm in the future now too. And so I can see that wasn't such a great approach. But and I just would, you know, I would like tell him like, I need you to be more affectionate. You know, maybe, you know, can you give me a hug? Can you, you know, I want you to initiate sex more, these kinds of things. And of course it never worked, because the premise is like, oh, okay, he forgot that I like affection, you know, and I've got to remind him. No. What it was is I wanted him to want to be affectionate. And the fact that I had to remind him was really proof positive that he didn't want to. And that hurt a lot.
Sure.
And so I realized, gosh, I'm never going to get what I want by asking for his time or attention or affection. It's much more effective to become the irresistible magnet, which is who I was when we fell in love, right? I didn't have to ask for any attention or affection at that time.
Sure.
I was just like the goddess of fun and light, and he didn't get enough of me, right? So
yeah, I love it.
So it's a part of the process. Part of the intimacy skills is really going back to that. It's like step number one. How can you make yourself ridiculously happy today? Because we are never hotter than when we're smiling and dancing and laughing and singing, and they are going to find their way to us like a magnet to steal when we do that.
It's so funny you said this. I had a meeting yesterday. Connie Benjamin's her name, brilliant young lady. And she talks about relationships to some extent too. But we were saying that we women, business women, right? She said, we feel guilt when we're not spending time with the kid because we're working, right? So you have this mom guilt, they call it. She's, but the husband's, her and her husband's a therapist also. So she's written books and stuff like that. But she was funny. She said her and her husband were talking one time and he goes, well, we don't have the kid guilt. He goes, we have the wife guilt. And she goes, well, what does that mean? Right? Because men and women, we do think a little bit differently. And he said, we feel guilty when our wives aren't happy, even if we don't realize it. He said, so when we have a happy wife, which you've heard this saying, right? A happy wife, happy life. He said, it really is true. He said, when you're happy, he said, I feel happy and thriving and connected and all of those things. So funny. This conversation was yesterday and you're saying the exact, you're basically saying the exact same thing, right? We're desirable when we're happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually asked thousands of men, because this really came up for me in the beginning, because I did not believe that my husband cared about my happiness, because I had done so much to, I was so disrespectful at the time. I did not know. I thought I was being respectful, but I didn't really know what that meant. Sure. And so my husband was busy trying to shore up his own ego, really, in response to all that, just that barrage of disrespect. Yeah. So I thought, he doesn't care about my happiness. But I would, you know, good news, I was completely wrong. And when I cleaned up the respect, he started to really, now he trips over himself to make me happy. Makes my tea in the morning and just, yeah, I mean, he will do anything for me. And so I started asking men, you know, randomly, like, how important is it to you that your wife is happy? And they would all say the same thing. They would say, oh, it's everything, or it's the most important thing. And in the UK, they say it's imperative.
I love it. I love it. And that makes sense, right? See, humans, we cohabitate. We need that. We need the human interaction. And that's really at the core of what we're talking about. All right. So now you say, change your husband. Skill is the spouse fulfilling prophecy. Okay. What is that? Cause I just love that phraseology.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, love, love. I first learned about this from Lee Miltier, who did she had a program on auto suggestion. You know, Lee Miltier?
I love Millie. She's been on my show. Yes. Love her.
She has. Lee Miltier. Oh my gosh. I'm like, she's one of my sheroes for sure.
Yeah.
So what I learned from her, she had a class, I think it was like a Nightingale Conant like tape that I got years and years ago, where she said, you know, she taught a course on auto suggestion, and she was teaching people, you know, just, you could say things like, you know, I ran a successful marathon, or I have a thriving business or whatever. And she said, but this woman came to the auto suggestion class and she left and realized that she was auto suggesting to her husband something that didn't serve her. And that was that he had a terrible temper. So he would lose his temper and she'd say, that is just like you. You have such a terrible, you always lose your temper. And so it wasn't serving her. So she decided after leaving the class, she thought, I'm just going to mix it up and start saying, that's not like you to lose your temper. So she went home, waited for him to lose his temper. She didn't have to wait very long. And then he, and as soon as he lost his temper, she said, that's not like you to lose your temper. And she's like kind of shaken inside, like, oh my gosh, this feels, you know, really fake. And their 12-year-old son goes, yes, it is, Mom. He always loses his temper. Because who's he been listening to, right? So, but she kind of just keeps up with this. She keeps just, every time he loses his temper, she just reaffirms that's not like him. So not too long after this, they're at a restaurant and the service is really slow. And he starts to get upset and he's fuming and he goes, I have a good mind to call the manager over here, tell him how long we've been waiting. And then he stops himself and he goes, that's not like me to lose my temper, is it? And she just nearly fell out of her chair. Like, it worked so fast. So I heard that and I thought, you know, one of the big complaints I had in my marriage was my husband didn't make enough money. So I would be saying to him, I started out saying like, why don't you see if you can get a raise, or, you know, why don't you see if you can get a better job, or maybe you could make a little more. And what he heard was, you don't make enough. So that's what I was auto suggesting. And then we got to the point, he quit his job. He wasn't making any money. And I was just so resentful and furious. And so I decided to just come up with a spouse fulfilling prophecy, I call it, that was, you've always been a good provider. So I said, I just waited for the opportunity to, you know, that seemed right to say that, like, you've always been a good provider. And just for fun, I started calling the Mr. Moneybags. And so around the time that I started saying that, he started his own business. He was more successful than he had ever been with that business. He had it for like 18 years. So I experienced what I was focusing on, right? And it feels like the change your husband thing, but I think in some ways my husband would have had to break the laws of the universe, because I was focused on lack. I was focused on not enough. And that's what I was experiencing. And as soon as I changed that focus to, you know, you've always been a good provider, and Mr. Moneybags, I still call him Mr. Moneybags. He calls me Mrs. Moneybags now too.
I love it.
I have a completely different experience, right? So we're so prosperous now, and we have been for a long time, when I changed my focus.
It's interesting.
So we see women use this with everything, like drinking and all kinds of things,
yeah,
not just money.
But it's interesting because our words have power in the universe.
They
absolutely have power over our own self-talk, right? That record player, like you said, yours went to a screeching halt when, you know, you were called out saying that you were controlling. You're like, what? And then when you look back, you think, holy crap, I was controlling. So our words, though, that we say to people, say to ourselves, is really impactful. And I have a chalkboard upstairs in the kitchen, and the quote I have is, your thoughts become your reality. Choose wisely. Because it's not only your words create the thoughts, which create your reality. So be careful what you're stating. Be careful what you're saying, because that is going to manifest in front of you. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And it's funny because I meet a lot of business owners, and, you know, and I'm sure you've come across this too, Laura, where we have so many limiting beliefs, right? So one of the limiting beliefs is we all have limiting beliefs about money, money issues, whatever it is. And we all have something going on in that realm. Well, as business owners, I find that you hear them say things. Well, there's not enough clients. Oh, I can't be friends with them because we're competing for the same client. It's that poverty mentality versus the abundant mentality. And that's exactly what you just did with, oh, now your money bags, forget about the money, but his own ego, he felt thriving. Because you saw him as thriving versus you're not making enough money, which it might be factual, but it's hurts. Words hurt. And that's exactly what you're saying. That's fascinating. And I love that you still call him money bags and he calls you money lady. I love that. I think that's so cool. That's so cool. So now, it's like magic, right? So, okay, let's continue with your magic wand. Yep. Magic wand. Yes. All right. Next question. How do you get your husband to help out more with kids, housework, and all those other responsibilities? You started with, well, if I don't do it, it's never going to get done.
That's right.
Right? You were living that.
I was living that. Yep. And one of the things that I came to see about my control was, and this was, I mean, talk about your head exploding, right? I thought, I'm just being helpful. I'm just telling him how to load the dishwasher better. I'm just saying, like, while you're out at the store, why don't you also go to the bank because it's more efficient or whatever. And so all of that was totally working against me. It really demotivated from him initiating anything or like stepping up and saying, okay, I'm going to get the house refinanced or whatever, right? Like the initiative things were missing because I was not letting him. He knew, like, okay, Laura's going to have something to say about this. So part of it was realizing that all of my control was based in fear. If you're not afraid, you don't have to say, you know, a family of four is not going to fit into a sports coupe, or, you know, don't forget to pick up the kids, or, you know, we can't spend too much money, you know, don't use that credit card this month, or all the things that we think are really, we're just trying to be efficient. A lot of that is just really based in fear. And I have, in every moment, I have the option to choose my faith in my husband, who I picked for a reason. I thought he was the smartest, most brilliant guy, and, you know, so funny and handsome and musical. And so why not choose that faith again instead of going down the path of fear? Easier said than done, right? When my therapist said, just stop being so controlling. I was like, how do I do that? Well, the key was there were two things. One was really, I call it getting back onto my paper, right? Like, he's got his paper with all his decisions and all the things he's doing all day, and I've got my paper. And when I was the armchair quarterback of my husband's life, it took a lot of time and energy. It was really exhausting. You talk about hard work, marriage being hard work. When you're controlling, it's really hard work. It feels a lot easier now. Now it feels like my soft place to land, because when I got back onto my paper, you know, what emerged was my life. I got to write a best-selling book. I got to start a relationship coaching company. I got to have an Amazon Prime series. I got to go on national television, and, you know, all these other things that public speaking I started to do. So that were, and these things were terrifying, right? So I was avoiding those by just focusing on him. And when I got focused back on my paper and started really living my life, it opened up a lot of space. You know, I stopped commenting on everything he was doing. And all of a sudden, my husband, who's like so easygoing and relaxed, we thought he was in a coma. You know, all of a sudden he's like, okay, we're going to add on to the house, or we're going to, right. You know, he took a lot more initiative, and certainly, so now he does all the dishes. I never ever do the dishes, maybe like once a year or something, because I am feeling domestic or something. He does the laundry. So I just feel like the most taken care of woman. I feel like a queen now. And it's all because I got on my own paper.
It's so interesting. I remember the kids were little and I came back from a meeting. They were going to a co-op preschool. And so you had a mother help and all these things. And I had started my business. I was 39. My son was one and my big guy was four. So I had two little ones at home, starting a business, stress, right? Having no income coming in except for my husband. So big leap of faith, right? And I remember driving home from that meeting and I was holding the steering wheel. Because I thought, how am I going to mother help? I have to do that. What do I do? Okay, I could do this. And I was spiraling thinking there's not enough hours in a day. And I remember I walked in the door and Laura, you don't know me well, but I don't cry. I'm the type, pull up your big girl pants, move on, right? Figure it out, right? And I came home and he said, what's the matter? And I burst into tears. I can't do this. What am I thinking? Like, I'm out of my mind. And he stopped because at the time I was laundry, I was food shopping, I was cooking, I was dealing with the kids. I had the business. I had this. And I basically thought, well, I'm the mother. I got to do it all, right? I wear an S under my shirt. And he goes, what can I do? And I go, can you food shop and do the laundry? Like, and because when I cry, I think it freaked him the hell out because again, I don't cry. And he goes, is that all you want me to do? And I'm like, yes, like that would be a big help. And he goes, done. So now that was my big guys. So that was 20 years ago, and business 20 years. And now if I do the laundry, he goes, oh, you put them in the wrong. The white shirt is pink.
You're doing them wrong.
Yes. And he tells me, you're the worst. He goes, please just let me do the laundry. And I go, I was trying to help you. Don't help me. I do the laundry better. And food shopping, forget it. He goes, just text me what you want. And he picks the, like, I could care less what kind of butter it is. And like, he'll buy something new. And I'm like, oh, this isn't the usual. Oh, he goes, yeah, I want to try it. And I'm like, oh, like I could care less, but I surrendered that control,
yes, you did.
Which was really, but here's the cool thing, Laura. I didn't realize to do that. I just I can't do it all. And he's the one like, what can I do? And it was so funny. His reaction, well, I'm thinking, I'm asking him for these huge things of doing the laundry, of food shopping. Cause I hate food shopping to begin with. And he was like, oh, that's it. So it didn't make me feel bad that I was this failure of a mom and wife, but rather he became a partner. And it was just really, really an interesting moment. So isn't that fun? As you were saying that, that's where my mind went. So that was a pivotal moment, I guess, in our marriage without even realizing it, because I am a control freak.
Okay. Well, it's so Connie is short for control.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. You know.
I love this story so much because this, what you did in that moment was you showed up vulnerable and you're saying like, I didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't waterworks. You weren't just like trying to manipulate and like, I've got to get him. No, you're just you're a mere mortal woman who's got her limits of energy. And with your, you know, your two little people and starting the new business, you were just at your max. But you did such a beautiful job of just showing up as, I call it the accountable mess. Like, I can't do it, everything. You know, I can't do everything. What was I thinking? And then you triggered I call it his hero gene, by bringing that vulnerability. And of course, he stepped up to be your hero. I love the 20 years later part where he's still, now he's like, no, just let me do it. Please don't help. It's adorable.
And it's what funny because even with my business, lot going on. My mom's been ill. So just, you know, a lot of moving parts. I don't have enough time in a day because things are falling through the cracks because if I'm not working, I'm with my mom. But then when I'm with my mom, I should be working because I have deadlines and commitments and contracts. So you're really pulled. Well, sorry, my mom obviously takes priority, but things are falling through the cracks. So the other day I was outside and he saw I was very stressed. He says, what can I take off your plate? I'm like, nothing. You can't take anything off my plate. It's all in my head. And like a crazy person, I said, if things are falling through the cracks with my team, he goes, CC me on your emails to your teams once a week. He goes, I'll go back and I'll do a checklist of these were things that you and Connie corresponded about, you know, things to do. What's the status? And I'll report back to her so that I don't get all of this influx of emails as they're completing things. See, again, he was my hero. And I was like, but you're busy too, because he has his own job. He goes, you're busier. So let me do this for you. And at the end of the week, he goes, once a week, hon, what's the big deal? Just have him. He goes, just CC me on everything. So I had a meeting with him. I said, my husband's going to be on it. Here's the reason why. I was very transparent. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. And again, my hero, right? So he knows when I'm, he knows when I'm stressed, even though I don't know I'm stressed, which is kind of fascinating. Too. He's, my husband's like one in a million. He's really a good guy. So, you know, I'm blessed.
He is, but I give you all the credit, Connie. Actually, you can't be as controlling as you're claiming to be, because that man is inspired to take care of you. So he doesn't see you as like, I mean, I feel like for me, my middle name could have just been like Bulldozer or something, right? Like, and nobody gets inspired to take care of that. Everyone's like, okay, I guess she's got it.
Yeah.
And, but you are showing up, I think, in a way that takes some courage, really some vulnerability. So
I think I just rant and rave and he doesn't want to hear me. So he helps me.
Well, I doubt that, because men are not inspired when we rant. I don't think they can even hear us when we rant.
That's true.
Right. It's when they hear our desires, or they see the opportunity to be our hero. So, but he just sounds like a wonderful guy.
He truly is. I'm blessed. But okay. Now, this is one of my favorite questions, and I can't wait to hear the answer. So you say there's an aphrodisiac for men and that it's free. It works fast and it's effective. Oh my goodness. You have to share.
Right. And no one knows about this, but
God.
I didn't know about this. I know it's free. It works fast. Okay. So I'll tell you what it is, and then you'll have an idea of what it is. But I think it's so interesting to me that from a woman's brain, it's a completely different thing. So even when I write about it now, I'm like, that is so weird that they think that, but it's true. So the aphrodisiac is respect. And respect, I think we get it confused because we think like, oh, respect, you have to give your teacher or your boss, you know, your parents, you have to respect the authority. Mm-hmm. And so we think like, oh, I'm, you know, and even like this concept of surrendered wife, you use the word surrendered beautifully. You just sort of gave up control of the laundry and food procurement, right? You're like, yeah, you take that off my hands. Fantastic. And that's you not trying to tell him how to do the laundry or shop for food. You're like, I don't care as long as it gets done. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So with respect, I think a lot of times we get it mixed up and think like, oh, I have to respect him as the authority and be obedient or subservient. And that's not it at all, right? Respect would be when my husband has an idea, I can just listen to it. I can just honor it. Like, he might have an idea that I think is just nutty. You know, he might say, why don't we sell everything and just get an alpaca farm, you know, somewhere else. And I would think like, oh, okay. But I might just listen. I might just say, oh, I hear you. You know, he doesn't mean it right in that moment. I no reason for me to like run down that road and tackle it and say, oh, it wouldn't work for this reason or that reason, right? Like, I don't have to be the devil's advocate. And I didn't realize that early on in my marriage. I thought it was part of my job as a wife to say, yeah, well, okay, you're going to start a business, but have you thought about this? Or what are you going to do if that happens, right? And instead of just having him look into his wife mirror and see like, I think you're so smart and so capable. Like, how can you fail? I think you're going to do great. So respect was I used to think that I remember saying like, well, I do respect him except for the way he dresses and the way he drives and, you know, the things he does at work. And of course I didn't. So I wasn't respecting him at all. So, but once I started respecting him, I no longer had to put my hands on my hips like this and say, we haven't had sex in 2 weeks. He was coming after me. Like, respect made me so attractive to him. And then it was interesting because then I would get kind of like butterflies in my stomach, like, oh my God, oh my God. Like that nervous, excited feeling when you first are falling in love. I'm like, oh my God, he's coming after me. So it really, yeah. Best effort.
That is hilarious. As you were speaking, when the alpaca farm, right? That, which is, was a great example because it's so extreme. And women are saying, what? Like, I'd have a lot to say about that. Sell everything. You're mad, man, right? But here's the thing. Yeah. It's like we feel, and I think maybe men do this too. I don't know, but I know women, I do this. We feel we have to be the course rectifier or course alignment, right? Like, what are you talking about? No. We need to be here, right? I need to course correct you because you're going off course right now, mister. So we feel like, no, that's not going to work because of this, this, and this. So isn't that funny? Instead of just saying, alpaca farm, that's kind of an interesting thought. Let me ponder that. And then move on, because they're not going to sell everything and move to an alpaca farm, right? It's just, it's a whimsical thing. He was intrigued, whatever, or he's trying to get a rise out of us too.
Right. That's right. He could be trying to get a rise, right? Because human nature, sometimes you need a little drama in your life.
Yeah.
You've got that minimum drama requirement. And it's interesting you talk about like setting the course, because what I've since found out too is the North Star of our relationship is my desires. I'm like, the keeper of the desires around here. So whenever I say, you know, I would love to go on a beach vacation, or I would love to, I expressed a desire at one point. I wanted to move to the beach, and now we live at the beach. So, and then he would just make that would just become like, okay, that's, we're going that way. So as long as I can express a desire in a way that inspires, that's the direction we're going to move. In fact, and it's so sad because I spent so many years, like before he started doing the dishes, I used to just complain. I would say, like, this kitchen's a disaster. And I thought he was going to jump up off the couch and start doing the dishes. And that never happened, right? Because I'd say, John, I'd be complaining. So I think all I could hear was probably John, blah, 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 like the Peanuts parents.
Charlie Brown's teacher.
Right. Yeah. And then one day I finally said, I would love a clean kitchen. He's like, okay, I'll clean it. Like, oh,
phraseology.
That's all I had to do.
Phraseology, respect and positive words, right? The words have an impact. So just such a great thing. All right. Last question. We're out of time, but what's the one question you should never, ever ask a man?
You ready for this? It's how do you feel? It's how do you feel? And the reason for that is because this used to be, I used to have big State of Union addresses on the couch, and I'd be like, tell me about your childhood. And how did you feel when your dad did that? You know, when your dad yelled at all of you or whatever. And I thought this was going to be the way we were going to get to intimacy. And no, it turns out that, in fact, they did a study at the University of Toronto. And I'm glad you're sitting down as I tell you this, because this is what they found out. They found out that women are more emotional than men.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. So we have this emotional brilliance, and the world and our relationship depends on us bringing that. So we're looking for them to say how they feel. No, it's for us to say how we feel. And that is where the intimacy is created, especially like your beautiful vulnerability that you illustrated for us earlier. That's a great example. That was such an intimate moment when he's like, you know, I'm going to help you. I'm going to buy the food, and I'm going to do the laundry. And so by asking him how he feels, you're never going to get to that intimacy that you think you're going to get. It's more by expressing your own feelings, tapping into your own emotional brilliance, which is one of the five feminine gifts.
Crazy, crazy. So Laura, and I'm not going to put pressure on you, but I think we have to do another show because we didn't even get into the, because this is such an important topic. It is such a deep topic. It's hard to do it any justice in 35 or 40 minutes. I feel like we've hit the tip of the iceberg, but what great tips. The idea of respecting, right, your spouse, of stopping the negative words, right? And asking for what you desire, or not even asking, just saying, I desire, right? I needed him, or I didn't want to food shop and do the laundry. Like, those two stupid chores would provide freedom for me. And women and men listening to the idea of a happy wife, happy life is really true. So, you know, like that saying, where did it come from? I always find that in these little, wives' tales and little acronyms and little things that we've heard, all of us have heard, there's that element of truth. So it started from somewhere. And now all of your stats, all of your research, all of the things that you've created speaks to that happy wife, happy life. But that fulfills the man, because the man is here to help us create help us fulfill our desires. And at the core, men need to feel needed.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And isn't it so great that we get men who want to be our heroes? Like, I can't get over what a good setup it is in some ways. Like, your husband just wanted to be your hero. That makes him feel loved.
Ladies.
He gets to take such good care of his wife.
Yeah, ladies, we got it made.
We do.
We really do. I think we get the better end of the deal here, right? That they want to help us fulfill our desires. You know, cha-ching. This is wondrous information. I think everybody needs a little more Laura in their life. So go to, and I'm going to give you the link, but it's a little bit of a long link. So I told Laura I will post it on the show notes so you guys can find her easy peasy. The website link is lauradoyle.org/blog/, and there's hyphens in between, which I'm not going to say. It's how to get your husband back. And I promise I will post that. So it's lauradoyle.org/blog/ how to get your husband back, with all hyphens in between. So you'll be able to find Laura easy peasy. Thank you so much for being on. What an awesome show. I learned so much, Laura. This was so cool.
Oh, thank you, Connie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that you're willing to do another show. We'll have to definitely schedule that. I want to do a deeper dive into some of those elements that we just didn't have a chance today. These interviews are wonderful where, you know, I get to meet people like you, read books and stuff like that, but I never feel like that 30, 40, it, probably even an hour would never do it justice. So that we could break it down for my listeners, I think is pretty cool because this is an important topic. And I would think all of the things we're talking about, even if for younger people, because I do have younger people that listen in, if they're not yet married, maybe to create that dynamic in their relationships, even if they haven't found that one, you know, that one twin flame or the one soulmate, that they could start to utilize that in their relationships. Because there's, you know, even with your bosses, respect, listen, hear, and kind of flip the table around. It's magic. It's magic.
It is. It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Thank you so much again. And again, I'll post Laura's information. And guys, please go to my website. I have so much going on. WhitmanAssociates.com, my number one bestseller, international bestselling book is on the resource page. Yes, that happened this year, Laura. So that I'm pretty proud of that. Go girl, go, right? Also my ESP, Easy Sales Process Masterclass is posted there as well. If you're unsure if the program's right for you, please contact me through the website as well, and we could talk about it. Get on a quick Zoom call and see if it's a match for you and your sales teams. I'm happy to do that. A bunch of free resources on my resource page at WhitmanAssociates.com, so check that out as well. Thank you again, Laura, for being on. And guys, you'll see Laura on the show again, and we'll do a little bit deeper dive. Everybody needs help with their relationships. None of us are perfect. And I just love that male-female dynamic and how we can create magic together. And I think that's just so awesome. And I think the world needs it.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, it really does. So thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for being on. You guys, you've been listening to the show either on YouTube. Please comment below. I do read your comments personally, and I love to hear what you're thinking, what you thought of the show. What did you learn? What did you implement? For me, it's always about the results. So YouTube, make comments. If you're listening to it, to the podcast on a podcast app, please go do a review. Again, let me know what you're thinking, what's worked, what's not. And if there's other things you'd love me to bring to the show, I'm so cool and happy to do that for you. So please do that. And I hope that you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter what change that you're facing in your life. Folks like Laura, folks like myself, we have resources out there. We have information, strategies that are proven that can help you move your needle on that road to change and hopefully make it a heck of a lot easier than struggling and trying to figure it out on your own. Thank you to my amazing guests. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you all, and I wish you all a wonderful week where you open your mind to what truly is possible. Take care, everybody.